today as we come to the table.
I'm worried about this, and what do I do about this? How are we going to meet these needs and pray? I said, are you seeking first the kingdom? Because that's the key. Because if you seek first the kingdom, there's an eternal promise that can't be denied, and it will not be denied. You seek first the kingdom. It may not be Cadillacs and mansions, but God will supply your need because he's promised. It's time to rearrange your heart. It's time to say, all right, Lord, I need you to work in my heart. I need you to work in my life and rearrange what my focus is. He says, this is going to happen. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Have you noticed that most of our worries are always about something down the road?
It's safe to say that everyone worries. No matter if life is in a good or bad place, we always manage to find something to worry about. Today, in his message, Pastor Mark explains that instead of focusing on your everyday problems, focus on God and his provisions for your life. Give it all to him and he will deliver you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In the ups and downs of our everyday lives, it's easy to let our worries completely consume us. Stop putting the burden on yourself and let God handle it for you. The worries of life will never stop coming, and he will always be there for your needs. Stake your claim in his kingdom and accept his promise of eternity. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
The bottom line is, if I put my heart first, then I'm going to be putting treasure in things that I'm looking at down here. But if I turn my eyes to the things of heaven, where am I going to put my money? In the things of heaven. And that's the point he's making. You decide what is the important place you want to invest, and then what happens after that? Now you're going to begin to invest in those things. If missions is your heart, you're going to invest in missions. If kingdom is your heart, kingdom things, you're going to invest in the things of the kingdom. It just goes and stands to reason. But I love it because it doesn't say the heart leads, the treasure leads. Choose today. If you don't have a heart for the things of God and giving toward the things of God, make up your mind today, I'm going to change my heart. I'm going to put my treasure there. And as you put your treasure there, your heart's going to follow that. And God will be faithful to make sure that happens. And there's going to be great reward for that if you do that. Putting your treasure where it belongs and putting your heart where it belongs. And so now we see, again, the laying up treasures in heaven. I'm going to give you another picture that popped in my mind this morning. And I don't know if you were ever a basketball player, but most of us know what a layup is. And it's interesting, as I was studying this morning, I thought, Lord, if every time I have an opportunity, I just lay up treasures in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven, that's 2 points every time, so to speak. I mean, I'm building up the scoreboard in the kingdom. And every time that God gives us an opportunity to give, guys, we need to be laying it up. You know, God's the one that gives us the open lane. Take it and lay it up. And God says, there, I'm giving you a chance to give to that missionary. I'm giving you a chance to give to that. I'm giving you a chance to help out that person in need that you hear about, you know, and whatever the case might be. Use that opportunity. Lay up treasures in heaven and not on the earth. And he tells us why. Now he goes into what we allow to come into our body, the lamp of the eye. Look at verse 22. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. That's interesting. I started trying to picture in my mind what that would be like, the lamp of the body being the eye. And I picture my eyes just lighting up my body. That's how my brain works, right? And thinking, whatever comes in now, whatever I let come in by that light, that's what's going to fill my body up. Whatever I read, whatever I watch, whatever I talk about, everything I engage in that I let my eyes go on, it's the lamp of your body. It comes in to your body and lights you up. And notice this, if therefore your eye is good, and that means they're in the language single, that you're single-eyed on God, on the things of God, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Have you ever seen someone, maybe you've seen these mugshots of these mass murderers or these people that have done these horrible things, how dark their eyes look. You can see the darkness, the lamp of their body. The thing that shines from them is darkness. I can look at old pictures of me before I knew the Lord and pictures of me now knowing the Lord. I can see a difference in my countenance. I can see a difference in my eyes. And that's what the Lord is saying is, it is something that literally emanates from us. And this is interesting what he brings up here, because he not only talks about light coming out of us if our eye is good and we're letting in light, but he talks about darkness having light. Isn't that interesting? How can darkness have light? Of course, they didn't understand this in that day because science had not yet discovered this. But of course, the Lord knew about it because he's the creator. And now what we know, as science is catching up with the Bible, we now know that in darkness is what? Light. You ever seen the night goggles that the military wears? It's because there's light that our eyes can't pick up, that we can't see, but it's literally light of the darkness. And his point is simply this: even as we shine the light of the Lord, it's the lamp of our body into what lights us up and what emanates from us to those around us, giving them light for God, that same darkness can come out and shine on those around us if we allow darkness to fill us up. Have you ever been around someone that emanated darkness? When you can feel it. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, make sure the light that you have in you is the light of God, and it's not the light of Satan or the light of the enemy that's working in your life, because it'll make you just as dark as my light will make you light. Make sure you have the proper light in your life. And again, it's interesting. He ties this in even to the eternal investing, because he goes now to talk about investing again in this next verse or two. But what's interesting to me about that is the Lord says we even need to use discretion and light when it comes to our eternal investments. Make sure we know what we're investing in and how we're investing. Now, again, sometimes I think we can be temporarily deceived, maybe temporarily tricked. But as soon as we find out, we need to readjust that and make an adjustment to it. And now the Lord goes back into talking about material things as pertaining to the spiritual things in our investing. Look at verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What a line the Lord draws here. Notice he's very radical in this. He says you can't blend serving God and material things. By the way, what is mammon? Mammon represented the material things of life. That's what the word meant to them in that day. The material things, whatever that might be. He's not saying you can't have material things and it be okay. He's saying you can't serve them. And if you're serving a material thing, what he's saying is it is now impossible to serve God. Guys, I challenge you this morning. Are you serving anything material in your life right now? Because if you're serving something material, even if you're a believer, God is saying, look, you may know me, but right now you're not serving me. Because you cannot serve both. You've got to choose to serve me, or you've got to choose to serve the material world, one of the two. But if you choose me first, I'll give you what you need materially, and the rest will be taken care of. We're about to see that in the next section. But we've got to understand, he draws a very distinct line here. He doesn't say you can, that it's possible to do it a little bit. He says you're going to hate one or love the other, love one or hate the other. You're going to be loyal to one or you're going to despise the other. You've got to make up your mind. And I'll tell you, I found that to be true in my life, because if the material things are drawing you, you'll find out whenever you have to give that material thing up or maybe shift some things around for God, you're going to find out which one you're really serving, because that's the decision you're going to make at that moment. And if you choose the things of the world over the things of God, you realize, all right, I'm not serving God right now. I've got to serve the Lord. And that's why I encourage people when they're moving, always make sure if you're going to move or you're going to some new area and you believe that God is calling you, find a solid church first. Because you need to first seek the kingdom, as we're going to see in a moment, for God to be able to bless all the other things in your life. Otherwise, you're not going to have the blessing of the Lord on your life from that. So notice, you can't serve God and mammon, material goods. There's a real clear distinctive line now that he draws. Now he shifts gears from, that was the first segment, internal investment, how we invest, if you will, for what's going to last forever compared to the temporary. But now he goes into worry. And again, this is a huge issue for us today, as I mentioned earlier, because there are so many things we can worry about. How many of you by nature have a worrywart attitude? Again, a lot of us do in this room. You know, I've kind of had that worrywart thing. It's like, why is it? You know, why can't it just be a headache? Why does it have to be a brain tumor? I don't know. Why is it that it can't be an upset stomach and instead it's probably cancer? You know, why do I think that way? And then you go and you find, okay, it's not. I realize cancer's real, tumors are real, things really happen, I get that. But most of the time we worry about things that we need not worry about. And I think especially today we're worrying about what's going to happen with our nation, what's going to happen. All these are legitimate concerns, but we need to trust God and pray. and realize that no matter what happens in this nation, God will take care of us. God has always been faithful to do that. I look back at when I first gave my life to the Lord and had very little of anything, but that was some of the happiest days of my life. And what God showed me during that time is, Mark, even with nothing, I can make you filled with joy. And so even if you lost everything again, can you still be filled with joy? Absolutely. I've been there. I've experienced it. And so now he goes into worry. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, again, let me pause there before I even go on. You say, that's easy to read, but how do I do it? You've got to take that to the Lord. If you're a worrywart, go to the Lord and memorize scripture that'll give you victory over it. Such as 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The scripture we're going to see here in just a moment, down here in verse 33, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. You begin to memorize these things. You begin to put them in your heart and in your mind, and God will give you victory over that. You actually pull your sword out, your sword of the spirit, if you will, which is the word of God, and you apply it. But he gives us the command here, which means it's possible to do by spirit, and we need to take it to the Lord. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He said, we're so focused oftentimes about the bills and how we're going to supply and what's going to happen. He says, just focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. I'll take care of the rest of it. And I love this example he gives here, because I did this yesterday, and this is really cool. Look at this. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Notice what he says. He goes, look, the birds aren't concerned. The birds aren't worried. He says, look at them. It means in the language, examine them. Look closely at them. And I did this yesterday. I made a point. Okay, God, you said to do it. I'm going to go do it. So I went out there on the back deck and I just, for a while, spent a while just watching the birds. It was fascinating as God began to reveal things to me. The first thing I noticed is that the birds, in order to have their supply, they didn't just sit in the nest and wait. They got out and looked for their supply. So there's a lot of principles here. We would say they went looking for work, right? They didn't just sit at home, they went looking for work. That was step number one. You can't find work if you don't look for it. So they went looking for work. The next thing, once they landed, they found it. All the seeds they wanted, all the worms, all the supplies. And I watched them all just walking around, just kind of having all their seeds, doing their thing. They're all over the backyard. And the third thing I noticed, not a single one of them looked worried. You know, right? Looking for seeds or whatever. And they couldn't find it. No. They had this very relaxed, it's just this confidence. You know, I'm here. I'm being supplied for. I'm not even concerned about it. God says, listen, you're of way more value than they are. If I'm going to do that for them, you think I'm not going to do that for you? And the next thing that I'd never noticed before in relation to that, we all hear it, but it really just jumped out to me as God was ministering to me and just watching his creation. He's like, look at them. They're working. They're going for it. They're working. I'm supplying as they're doing it. They're not worried. They're not panicked. But how are they doing it? Lord, they're all singing. Yeah, that's right. They're all singing. And I listened to them. They're walking. I'm going, what a great example. Just singing at work and just enjoying the Lord. They weren't worried. They're rejoicing in the provision God was giving them. And it just reminded me again of the early days of really having nothing as an apartment with not even any furniture in it. And I would come home as a new believer and just try to go out and find work, come back, get my can of beans, put it in there, do whatever. And I remember walking around the apartment and I would just sing and I would eat and I'd sit on the floor. It was a wonderful time. He said, you remember that? I do that every day for the birds. You think I won't do that for you? I'll provide for you. I'll give you more than that. I'll give you more than just, you know, eating seeds, so to speak. I'll take care of you. But guys, we need to be those who sing and give thanks to the Lord and give praise to the Lord for what he's done. He's providing for us. Many of you are worried about whether or not you're going to have provision tomorrow. What he's saying is, look at the birds. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not going back going, okay, well, we found a lot today, but what about tomorrow? I tell you, it's getting rough out there. You know, did you see the mockingbirds that moved in next door? They're chasing our kids all over the place. Said, this is awful. We got to do something. No, they're just saying, God, I'm going to trust in you. And they're singing to the Lord and all these sweet voices going up to God. And it's amazing. Creation is always praising God. Creation is always singing to God. We're his greatest creation. Should we not be praising God and singing to the Lord? And so the heart, I love the attitude that the birds have. He says, look at them. Just, are they worried? He says, are you not of more value than they? Now, again, in our environment today, oftentimes people tend to treat animals more valuable than people, don't they? There seems to be a greater concern about the animals than there are people. He says, but no, it's people that God is concerned about, guys. God loves the animals. The Bible says that the righteous love their animal. So righteous people take care of their animals. But here's what he's saying. My focus is not on the animals, although I love them. My focus is on you. I didn't die for the animals. I died for you. And if I take care of the animals who I didn't die for, and I love them, how much more am I going to provide for you? How many of you right now are worried about where the bills are going to come from tomorrow or whatever? Stop. Give it over to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust you. You got to leave the nest. You can't just sit in the nest and go, where are my bills going to come from? You got to go out and find work. But God says, if you do what I've asked you to do, I will provide, and I'll give you, and have a right heart, I'll give you a heart of singing in the midst of it. Seeing my provision, seeing the joy that God gives. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Notice this. When has worry ever profited any of us in this room? Any? Are you worried about that lizard walking across the front of the stage? Oh boy, that's going to be great. Now that's a great distraction. You know, it's like, just ignore him, and all you girls that are afraid of lizards, I mean, this is what's called the flying venomi. They attack, and they have these fangs, and venom comes out. Ugh. He'll stay on the stage. I'm not worried about him, so don't you guys freak out. But I had to mention it. So which of you is worried about the lizard crawling on the front of the sanctuary? Does God not know how to? No, I'm just kidding. He loves the animals. Let's get back to the word. Oh, boy. Anyway. But notice here, he says, what can worrying about that lizard or anything else, what can worry do? It does nothing, right? It does nothing. How many of you in this room can tell me right now, you know what? Worrying has really been a big bonus in my life. I found that with worry, I've gotten a lot done, and I just am generally overall more happy. No, you're miserable. You're miserable because you're worried about the bill. You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about this. You can't change it. Only God can. So you take that to the Lord and quit saying, Lord, I'm turning that over to you. I can't affect it. Worry doesn't do anything. Here's what worry does. It actually creates, your body begins to produce a very toxic situation when you worry. It starts to eat you up on the inside. You get sick if you worry too much. We know that now physiologically. So worry does have one benefit, sickness. But besides that, if you're worried today, you're causing yourself sickness and you cannot change anything. So let it go. Trust God and turn it over to the Lord. It doesn't do any good whatsoever. He says, so why do you worry about your clothing? He goes on. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. And if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, they would use it to start their fires with. He said, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. He's saying, you need to trust me. Look at this. Solomon was the wealthiest king that ever lived. He no doubt wore the most glorious robes and clothing that we would have ever seen because they were all handmade by the richest, wisest man on the planet. Imagine what he would have looked like in great pomp and circumstance. He says, that's nothing compared to the grass. It's nothing compared to the lilies. Listen, at that time, they didn't have electron microscopes. They couldn't see the lilies. They couldn't see the grass up close. But we now have the ability to see it. And when you look at these things up close under magnification, they are truly amazing. I want you to see a picture of just a blade of grass under an electron microscope. Look at this. Is that amazing? And look how happy they are. Ha ha! We love being grass. Praise the Lord. Ha ha! Isn't that great? Listen, that's just, this is built into creation is the glory and praise of God. It's built in everywhere. He says, if you could just see what you're missing, now we have the ability to see a little bit of it, but we're worried. God, you make all the grass dance and sing in there, and the birds are all, I mean, they're not worried. And I'm going, oh my goodness, oh, this is due, and I've got that. He's like, okay, I care more about grass and birds than I do you, Mark, right? But aren't we like that? It's the battle we all struggle with. We have to learn to rest and take a deep breath. Smile like the grass, sing like the birds, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Don't box, I'm just kidding. It just kind of was there. But either way, he says, don't worry about this. God's going to take care of it. God's going to do it. Therefore, look at verse 31. Because of all this that I've said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Gentiles means in reference to the unbeliever. They're worried about all this because they don't have any hope beyond this. They don't have outside help. We do. Listen, by the way, if something happens where suddenly the market drops and there's famine and all these things take place, I believe with all my heart God's going to take care of those that trust him. We see it all through scripture. We see it all through history, which means I don't have to worry about what if everything collapses? What if we don't have any gasoline? What if there isn't any food? What if there aren't any this and that? Whatever. Look, God's going to provide what we need. And I believe you're going to see the body of Christ come together and love each other like never before if that ever happens. Because we're going to learn what giving and sharing means, and we're going to watch God be faithful to provide for those who love him and trust him. That's the God we serve. And so he says, you know what? Don't be like the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's not shocked. He knows we need them. No surprise to him. He created us with these needs. Here's the verse. And by the way, if you're a worrier, this is the verse I want you to memorize. Here's your prescription today. I'm writing you a spiritual prescription. If you're a worrier, memorize this and quote it every day until you stop worrying. Notice this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that is supply for life we've been talking about, will be added. By the way, that is a promise of God. God can't break his promises, nor will he, because then someone will say, oh, Lord, you weren't able. Oh, Lord, your word failed. Impossible. But let me also add this caveat. It's conditional. It's conditional. What he's saying is, look, you want this to be something that I'm going to answer? Then you've got to do what? You've got to put me first. Here's the big question. Is God first this morning? Yes. Is he first? Really? Because if he's not, you can't claim this promise. But if he's first, you can. I have people that come up oftentimes after service, and rightly so, ask him for prayer about their financial needs or whatever. There's nothing wrong in that. Don't be afraid to come up. I can't ask Pastor Mark for that. Because he says, no, he's not saying we're not to pray and ask for our needs and to make our needs known. He wants us to pray. He says, make your needs known. You have not because you ask not. There's a big part of this, but it goes with faith hand in hand. And let's say, you know, I'm worried about this, and what do I do about this? How are we going to meet these needs and pray? I said, are you seeking first the kingdom? Because that's the key. Because if you seek first the kingdom, there's an eternal promise that can't be denied, and it will not be denied. You seek first the kingdom. It may not be Cadillacs and mansions, but God will supply your need because he's promised. It's time to rearrange your heart. It's time to say, all right, Lord, I need you to work in my heart. I need you to work in my life and rearrange what my focus is. He says, this is going to happen. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Have you noticed that most of our worries are always about something down the road? But what are you worried about this morning? Think about it. It's probably not today, is it? We always worry about tomorrow. We always worry about a few months from now. We worry about a few years from now. He says, stop. Stop. I'm providing for you today. I brought you here. I gave you gasoline. I gave you a ride. I did whatever. You ate something. If you didn't, you're probably thinking, how long is this guy going to go? But for those of you that ate, you're not worried about that and you're focused, right? He's provided. Trust him. He's not going to stop now. God is going to provide. He says, there's enough to worry about today. Isn't that true? Isn't there enough to worry about today? There's enough to worry about today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. So here's as we finish today. Here's what we're going to do. Listen, let's give all of our worry over to the Lord. Let's turn it over to him. Let's give our worry over and say, God, I'm not going to worry about it. And then let's look, what about our eternal investments? How are we living our life? We only have so many years left. Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Remember, all-encompassing viewpoint when I say that. Because so many people make a big deal about finances. That's part of it, but that's not what the focus. It's your life as a whole. Are you investing in the Lord and in the kingdom? And we want to pray for God to help us not to worry, to take our worry, and to show us where and how we can invest in the kingdom. And if our treasure is in a place it shouldn't be, then let's start putting it where we know it should be, even if our heart isn't there, because he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, and your heart will fall in line.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down, because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us. As we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.